with employees accruing a lot of annual leave, typically it's going to be the best time after everybody gets back to work or after the shutdown ends. I think that will probably be when a lot of employees may want to start to go on annual leave. So it could be a good time to have that conversation with employees.
Welcome to the Business Behind Your Business, conversations to help your business grow and thrive. Hi, I'm Paul Sweeney, founder of Pretium Solutions, chartered accountants and certified business advisors, hosting the Business Behind Your Business. Welcome back to the Business Behind Your Business podcast. And look, we are coming to you from Sydney in New South Wales, and we're still in a state of extended lockdown, which is affecting many, many businesses throughout Sydney and also in New South Wales. But there are also lockdowns occurring and in other states of Australia at the moment. But we have this situation come up, and we've had a question put to us from Deborah about annual leave and entitlements for employees.
Clearly, under this current long-term lockdown in Sydney and elsewhere, the question on employers' lips might be the issue of annual leave accruals for their employees. Given that we've got a situation where people can't go away on holidays at the moment, so perhaps there's a tendency to stockpile annual leave, meaning that organisations are carrying this. And I'm just wondering whether your experts could share any insights about options for employers if this is the case. Thank you very much.
Now, most of us are stuck where we are. We can't cross the borders. We can't go on holidays. So we're accruing lots of leave. So how should we as employers deal with this when we're getting requests from employees to what can we do about our annual leave? Joining me today is Paul Cripps, again, from PK People Solutions, and Ben Baumgarten from Frank Law. So welcome back to the podcast, Paul and Ben.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul, for the invitation back.
Great. So look, we've got probably two sides of the story here, the employer side and the employee side. So we've got the employer who have employees. They can't, not actually getting any value out of a lot of people because we're all in lockdown and some in situations where working premises have been closed or prevented under the terms of lockdown. So some people are not actually generating an income, but we're still managing a payroll. And on the other side of it, we have employees who are accruing annual leave entitlements during this period, but nowhere to go and no way to use up those annual leave. So we've got employers accruing a liability and employees wanting to know how can they access their leave if they can't go anywhere. So, Paul, do you want to start the ball rolling there?
Yes, look, I think it's you're absolutely right, Paul. It is certainly something that is what Deborah describes there. It's quite a common scenario. It was a common scenario that came up last year as well. And you know, back last year there were some provisions that were put in to help employers navigate this situation. But I think the one thing that's certainly clear is that you know employers will continue to, if you like, have that liability that just because we're in a pandemic situation, you know, leave will continue to be accrued. And it's around, I think, employers really having a good understanding, which Ben will help us with in the moment, in terms of, you know, what they can and can't do, and then working out, you know, what the plan should be from there. And look, I think what we might do is we might get Ben to talk a little bit about some of the legalities, and I might talk about some of the things that I've come across and suggestions that I've given and suggest things I've seen employers do to try and navigate this area.
Great. Sounds like a good plan, Paul. So, Ben, do you want to take us through some of the legal aspects of this?
Sure. So, look, I guess the starting point is to have a look at the award that covers the workplace, and there's about 120 different awards in the modern award system. So if you have any questions about what award covers your workplace, yeah, more than happy to assist there. But this morning, or this afternoon, I should say, I've had a look at the retail or the general retail industry award and the annual leave provisions within that award. And it provides guidance to the employer what they can do, what they can do to reduce their employees' annual leave accrual. The first thing really that an employer should do is try and seek consent or mutual agreement with their employee to reduce their annual leave accrual. So you might have a meeting with the employee, a consultation, and ask them to, you know, use up some of their annual leave if it's excessive. If you can't reach agreement there, then the award provides some options for the employer to take. And again, you'll need to check your particular award that covers your workplace. But in terms of the retail award, if there's a close down of the business, and as we know, there are some businesses at the moment due to the public health order can't operate at the moment. And in that case, what this particular award says, and it may be repeated in other awards, that an employer may require an employee to take annual leave as part of a close down of its operations by giving at least 4 weeks' notice. So if you're already in a shutdown, you would need to pay your employee wages up until that 4 week point, and then you could start to pay them annual leave, and obviously they would go on annual leave after that point. So that's the first option. The second option that you can use is if you haven't been able to come to an agreement and the business may not be closed down, but you still got that annual leave accrual, you can still ask your employee, or you can direct your employee, I should say, to use up their annual leave accrual. And the award, I would say most awards regard excessive annual leave accruals to be more than 8 weeks or 10 weeks for a shift worker. You'll still need to give the employee a notice in that regard. So you need to give them notice that they're going to go on annual leave, and you'll need to give them a written action to do so. You also need to make sure in those circumstances that by using up that annual leave accrual, that you don't leave them with less than 6 weeks of paid annual leave also. The employee can also request the employer to reduce their annual leave accrual as well. So that's another option if the employer, for some reason, didn't agree to the employee reducing their annual leave. The employee can request that. And there's also other provisions in the award where you can, or the employee can cash out their annual leave accrual. But again, in those situations, the maximum that they can cash out in a 12-month period is 2 weeks worth of accruals, and they can't be left with less than 4 weeks annual leave accrual. So modern awards are very dense and sometimes difficult to understand. So you really need to refer to the award that covers your workplace and engage a legal representative if you need some assistance interpreting.
So, and I think it's important for us to remind everybody that's listening that we're talking very generally here about, well, a particular sector or a particular award, but how it applies to your specific business is could be very different to the business next door to you. So it's really important to get specific advice for your individual circumstances. But we're going to cover a lot more of the general application and give some examples, I think, here of how this may actually work practically for your business.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right, Paul. I think, and thank you, Ben, for covering that off, because I think there are certainly a lot of different situations that apply to different businesses. Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, I get situations where different business owners have a conversation, hopefully from a sensible distance at the moment, and they swap stories, and I certainly had this last year of some very, very strange advice being passed from neighbours that were business owners, which was a little bit scary in terms of, you know, how factually incorrect it applied to the business that was my client anyway. I think that, you know, from Ben, so some of the things I've seen, you know, in practice there, in terms of, as Ben says, in terms of it's a case of getting mutual consent. Practically speaking, from my experience with a lot of clients, it's been a case of getting that mutual consent for employees to take some leave can be a good outcome. And I do, and to Deborah's question, I do totally understand that there is this issue at the moment that employees can't go away. Having said that, I still think it's a very good idea from a well-being perspective for employees to take some form of break and some form of leave. Now, that might not be as much as they might take under other circumstances where they're wanting to travel, wherever that might be. But certainly, I think taking a sensible amount of time off is still good. With some businesses, obviously, there are shutdown periods that have existed in the past and will still exist going forward. I think that I found that, generally speaking, as Ben rightly says, there is that in most awards. It's 8 weeks in most awards in terms of that trigger in terms of when you can enforce. It's sometimes I find that a good way to start a conversation as opposed to actually going down the formal process. But it is there if it needs to be followed, as Ben quite rightly says. It's there is a process there to get people to direct them to take leave. Probably this comes down once again to that point around mutual consent that I've seen a reasonable amount is where an employer has really had a consultation with their employees to really get to understand in terms of some of the pressures the business faces. And I've seen some success stories here where clients have actually had that conversation with their employees to say, look, we are going through a difficult time at the moment. Understand you can't go on the holidays that you have planned. The business is also under a lot of pressure as well. It would be really helpful if you could take some of your leave. Number one, to give yourself a bit of a break from a well-being perspective. And secondly, in terms of by taking leave, it takes pressure off the sustainability of this business going forward as well. And certainly I've seen that work quite well in practice. Look, it is obviously, as I said before, there's no silver bullet answer on this. To Deborah's point, I think the enforcement is there, but it's more tricky. But if there is a way to try and strongly encourage and get employees to agree by mutual consent, I've seen that achieve better outcomes.
Yeah, and I think there's a balancing here of different requirements. You have the balancing of, I guess, the need to look after your employees and make sure that they do actually take time away from the business, which is a good thing to encourage, is we find people that tend to not have that distinction between the workspace and the home space anymore because we're all working from home. And some people are working longer. I know some people have been working 12, 14-hour days and just not moving from their desk, which is not healthy for anybody. So there's that balancing there of getting people to take time off. But we also got this situation of how a business depends, I guess, too much on some key employees. And during these times where certain industries are actually having to do more work to respond to the lockdown, so obviously there's health professionals and I guess anybody involved in the contact tracing. But speaking from my own experience as an accountant, advising people coming on looking for financial assistance and how does this work, we're actually probably working, a lot more hours at the moment than we would normally work in a normal situation. So for me to be without my team at this point would be quite hard for the business. So there is a balancing act there.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's a case of each business has a different impact. And there are certain industries, and yours would be a good example, whereby the workload is increasing, even if the reward for the workload is increasing by virtue of the amount of things that are changing and keeping up to date with what's going on. And so, there certainly are businesses out there where they'll struggle to let people take too much time off. And you're absolutely right. It has to be a balancing act. There is unfortunately no ideal answer. I think the one thing I think probably, and if I'd like to get Ben's help here as well, is cashing out, because cashing out could be an option that might work in some cases. But Ben, you were saying obviously, as if I understand it correctly, there are some awards which allow this and some that don't.
Yeah, so the award that I've referred to this afternoon is the General Retail Industry Award. I'm looking at another award at the moment, the Banking, Finance and Insurance Award 2020. That also has the annual leave cashing out provisions in there. Let me just check one more award here. I'll look at the clerks, private sector.
The clerks award, yeah.
And if I have a look at, so this is where you'd look at, you'd open the award on the Fair Work Commission website and you'd go to the annual leave provisions, clause 32. And so they've got a cashing out of annual leave provision within that award. So, yeah, so if you've got employees, typically, and always check this, it's always going to be dependent on that particular employee, but typically administrative clerical staff might fall under this award. If somebody has too much annual leave, that employee might want to cash out their annual leave in that circumstance. I should also add as well is that there's particular awards, and the Fair Work Commission last year, in response to when COVID first happened, they've inserted special, well, they've called it the additional measures during the COVID-19 pandemic, and it's usually Schedule X.
Schedule X, that's right. Off a memory from last year, Ben.
yeah. So in that award, you can, and this would be, you need to come to an agreement. You can't direct staff, but staff can take annual leave at half pay. So instead of an employee taking paid annual leave on full pay for a week, they could go on annual leave for 2 weeks at half pay. So that's another way to reduce annual leave accruals. And look, with employees accruing a lot of annual leave, it's typically going to be the best time after everybody gets back to work or after the shutdown ends. I think that will probably be when a lot of employees may want to start to go on annual leave. So it could be a good time to have that conversation with employees. They've gone through Zoom fatigue and all those other joys that come with working from home. And after that shutdown, I would say is going to be a good time to initiate that discussion with employees.
It could have the opposite effect. The floodgates could open. So, I've just got one question on Schedule X, actually, and that's it. I'm glad you reminded me of that. So am I right in saying that Schedule X is now alive again? It's now up again in some awards because it was in and it was
not again, wasn't it? Yeah, that's right. So, yes, thanks for reminding me, Paul, to bring that up because in the General Retail Industry Award, it is Schedule X is valid up until 31st of December 2021.
Okay.
If you have a look at the Clerks Award and you go to Schedule X, the annual leave at half pay provisions are not in that award, and the other provisions to do with additional measures during the COVID-19 pandemic were valid up until 30 June 2020. Okay. So it is important. Yeah. So it is important to have a look at that award that applies to your workplace and have a look at the annual leave provisions to see what levers the employer can use to reduce those annual leave accruals, and have a look at Schedule X because, as we've seen this morning or this afternoon, it may not apply to each workplace or industry.
No, that's good. Thank you, Ben.
I think one of the other things we've got to take into account here is if an employee approaches an employer and says, I'd like to cash out some of my leave at this point, the employer might actually say, well, that's great. I'm happy for you to do that, but I can't pay it at the moment because my cash flow has been depleted because I haven't been able to trade for five, six weeks. You'll have to wait. So I guess, look, there's got to be some give and take in the discussions, I think, between employer and employee at this stage.
And there has to be consent on that, Ben, doesn't there? It's not a right of employees. It's a right. There could be a right to request, but there's no guarantee that we pay. Is that your understanding?
Yeah. So just of a reading of that cashing out provision in the General Retail Award, it says that an employer and an employee may agree in writing. So that's the key word, the may. If it was must, then, you know, you have to cash out when the employee requests. But that says to me there that the employee and the employer have to come to some consensus and needs to be in writing. So the employer could push back and say, well, look, I can't cash out your annual leave at the moment. You know, we're 30-40% down on in business. So
I suppose there is also the reverse could be true in some cases. For some employers, it might be a good thing to cash out the leave and take that leave liability potentially off the balance sheet. And have you seen that happen at all, Paul? Is that something you've seen?
My opinion on this is that not enough businesses actually understand their leave liability, particularly looking at your smaller employers with 0 to 10 or obviously not with zero employees, but with up to 10 employees, really don't pay as much attention to their leave entitlements. And they know that the leave accrues every payroll, that employees will take leave, and they really only look at the balances until when an employee's requesting leave to see if they've actually got enough time. They're not actually monitoring regularly how much leave is actually being accrued by employees, and then what's the dollar value of that leave? Because it's not just a case of if an employee wants to cash it out. If that employee leaves you at any time, you've got an obligation to pay out that accrued annual leave. So yeah, there's a liability. And yeah, I think more businesses need to put that on their balance sheets.
Yeah, I think it's like within 7 days of that termination that you need to pay out those employee entitlement. So, I guess you should have that accrual sitting there ready to go at all times.
Mm. Absolutely. And it's very interesting because, my experience back in the corporate world, there was a really high visibility about that and regular reporting that went on to, within large organizations to bring down to department manager level visibility of the leave liability, and perhaps at a higher level, maybe what the dollar value was on that. And you're absolutely right, Paul. I think that sometimes that can be very much misunderstood. And my own experience often is, and I still go through it now, is having to explain that to what I call overseas parent companies as well. And that's one of the fun things that I never seem to be able to lose, whether it be in the corporate world or in the environment I have now, where I've got some clients that have got overseas parent companies. But I think the key thing there is for employers to be aware that leave is something that hits their bottom line of their business, and almost by having a regular plan in place to review that, and a regular plan in place to encourage employees to take leave under any circumstances, is always helpful. And going back to Deborah's original question, it's very challenging now. But I think it's having good practices on this probably is a tip I think that any business owner with staff should take away.
Yeah, that's great. So I think there's two key questions we've been discussing. One more from the employee side about can they cash out their leave, and then the other one is can an employer, I guess, force an employee to take leave. So actually, I'll get Ben to summarise whether the employer can force an employee, because I think that's probably more from the legal side.
Yeah. So look, in summary, yes, you can, but under certain circumstances. So they need to have that annual leave accrual of more than 8 weeks sitting in their accruals, and they need to give sufficient notice to the employee. If you can check off both of those circumstances, then the employer can force an employee to take annual leave.
Mm. And about forced shutdowns, there's a notice period that you're required to give. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So in situations, some awards will refer to as a temporary close down. Other awards will just say a close down under those circumstances, provided that you give that employee 4 weeks' notice and the business has shut down. It can't be a circumstance where there's been a slowdown in business. It has to be a close down. The employer can force the employee to take annual leave.
Would that be like a situation, I think, with a lot of manufacturing, it might have come about, is that the factory would shut down for maintenance, so they didn't want the workers actually being present while they were maintaining the equipment?
Well, yeah, that's right. That's a good distinction. It could be a close down of its operations or part of a workplace for a particular period. So, yes, you could have your head office staff still required to do administrative work, but the actual factory itself may not be able to be usefully employed for a particular period, and you could force those particular workers to take their annual leave.
Mm, great. And Paul, just summarising the employee cashing out leave discussion we've had.
Yes. So, that under some awards, and I will stress it's a case of, I said all through this, it's a case of it's important to check the award and get the right advice on the award there, is that, employees can request to have usually up to 2 weeks leave cashed out, but that's just a request. So that's not something the employer has to agree to. And obviously there are circumstances where that could be a good outcome for an employer. There could be circumstances where that's not something an employer wants. And as you quite rightly said, Paul, sometimes that will come down to cash flow issues. So request, yes, but a request doesn't mean it's guaranteed.
Great, thanks. And look, we mentioned that it is an area where you will need to get specific advice for your circumstances, because there are 120 different awards and no two businesses are identical. So, Ben, if our listeners want to get in contact with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, look, the best way is to get in contact with myself at Frank Law. So the best way to do that is to write an email to info@franklaw.com.au, or you can get in contact with me via the telephone, which is 02-9688-6023.
Fantastic. All right, we'll put the links to that in the show notes. And Paul Cripps, how do our listeners get in contact with you?
Yes, certainly. So by email, which is Paul, or phone number 0421-404-365.
Fantastic. That's great. So thank you again, Paul and Ben, for your time today and sharing your knowledge on what could be quite a messy situation for employers. It's great to have some clarity and guidance on this question, because it is coming up quite frequently in our discussions. And we thank Deborah for putting forward her question to us. And look, if you have a question you'd like our panel of experts to answer, then you can ask your question by going to speakpipe.com/thebusinessbehindyourbusiness. Leave your audio question and we'll feature it on an upcoming episode of the podcast, and we'll answer it with the appropriate expert panelist to help your business grow. So thank you again, Paul and Ben. As always, it's been a pleasure to have you guys here, and thank you for listening. Thanks for listening. Do you have a question you'd like our team of experts to answer? If you do, send your question to podcast@thebusinessbehindyourbusiness.com. To hear more from The Business Behind Your Business, don't forget to subscribe using your favourite podcast player. Or you can visit the businessbehindyourbusiness.com website.